How can husband and wife divide the interests of their home life and still keep a loving, firm hold upon each other? They should have a united interest in all that concerns their homemaking, and the wife, if a Christian, will have her interest with her husband as his companion, for the husband is to stand as the head of the household. A 119.1 counsel to discordant families your spirit is wrong. When you take a position, you do not weigh the matter well and consider what must be the effect of your maintaining your views and in an independent manner weaving them into your prayers and conversation, when you know that your wife does not hold the same views that you do. Instead of respecting the feelings of your wife and kindly avoiding, as a gentleman would, those subjects upon which you know you differ, you have been forward to dwell upon objectionable points, and have manifested a persistency in expressing your views regardless of any around you. You have felt that others had no right to see matters differently from yourself. These fruits do not grow upon the Christian tree. 119.2 My brother, my sister, open the door of the heart to receive Jesus. Invite him into the soul temple. Help each other to overcome the obstacles which enter the married life of all. You will have a fierce conflict to overcome 120 your adversary the devil, and if you expect God to help you in this battle, you must both unite in deciding to overcome, to seal your lips against speaking any words of wrong, even if you have to fall upon your knees and cry aloud, Lord, rebuke the adversary of my soul. 119.3 Christ in each heart will bring unity. If the will of God is fulfilled, the husband and wife will respect each other and cultivate love and confidence. Anything that would mar the peace and unity of the family should be firmly repressed, and kindness and love should be cherished. He who manifests the spirit of tenderness, forbearance, and love will find that the same spirit will be reflected upon him. Where the Spirit of God reigns, there will be no talk of insuitability in the marriage relation. If Christ indeed is formed within, the hope of glory, there will be union and love in the home. Christ abiding in the heart of the wife will be at agreement with Christ abiding in the heart of the husband. They will be striving together for the mansions Christ has gone to prepare for those who love him. 120.1 Chapter 18, Marital Duties and Privileges. Jesus did not enforce celibacy. Those who regard the marriage relation as one of God's sacred ordinances, guarded by His holy precept, will be controlled by the dictates of reason. 121.1 Jesus did not enforce celibacy upon any class of men. He came not to destroy the sacred relationship of marriage, but to exalt it and restore it to its original sanctity. He looks with pleasure upon the family relationship where sacred and unselfish love bears sway. 121.2 Marriage is lawful and holy. There is in itself no sin in eating and drinking, or in marrying and giving in marriage. It was lawful to marry in the time of Noah, and it is lawful to marry now, if that which is lawful is properly treated and not carried to sinful excess. But in the days of Noah men married without consulting God or seeking His guidance and counsel. 121.3 The fact that all the relations of life are of a transitory nature should have a modifying influence on all we do and say. In Noah's day it was the inordinate, excessive love of that which in itself was lawful, when properly used, that made marriage sinful before God. There are many who are losing their souls in this age of the world by becoming absorbed in the thoughts of marriage and in the marriage relation itself. 121.4 The marriage relation is holy, but in this degenerate age it covers vileness of every description. It is abused and has become a crime which now constitutes one of the 122 signs of the last days, even as marriages, managed, as they were previous to the flood, were then a crime. When the sacred nature and the planes of marriage are understood, it will even now be approved of heaven, and the result will be happiness to both parties, and God will be glorified. 121.5 The privileges of the marriage relation. Those professing to be Christians should duly consider the result of every privilege. Notes on another occasion Mrs. White speaks of the privacy and privileges of the family relation. See Testimonies, Volume 2, p. 90. Compilers. Of the marriage relation, and sanctified principle should be the basis of every action. 122.1 In very many cases the parents have abused their marriage privileges, and by indulgence have strengthened their animal passions. 122.2 duty to avoid excess is not dash dash it is carrying that which is lawful to excess that makes it a grievous sin. 122.3 Many parents do not obtain the knowledge that they should in the married life. They are not guarded, lest Satan take advantage of them and control their minds and their lives. They do not see that God requires them to control their married lives from any excesses. But very few feel it to be a religious duty to govern their passions. They have united themselves in marriage to the object of their choice and, therefore, reason that marriage sanctifies the indulgence of the baser passions. Even men and women professing godliness give loose rein to their lustful passions and have no thought that God holds them accountable for the expenditure of vital energy, which weakens their hold on life and enervates the entire system. 123.122.4 Let self-denial and temperance be the watchword. Oh, that I could make all understand their obligation to God to preserve the mental and physical organism in the best condition to render perfect service to their Maker. Let the Christian wife refrain, both in word and act, from exciting the animal passions of her husband.